2 Kings chapter 7, and we want to look at these leprous men from verse 3 to round about verse 9. We find them there, but 2 Kings chapter 7, and in verse 3, we read, "There were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, 'Why sit we here until we die?'" One Sabbath morning in Chicago, D.L. Moody had just finished preaching the gospel with all of the strength that he could muster. Immediately after the service, as custom was, he went to shake hands at the door with his congregation. As he was shaking hands, there was a young man, a young college graduate, who came to him and began to criticize his use of English. He said to him, "Mr. Moody, whilst you were preaching this morning, I counted at least 18 mistakes in your English grammar." And D.L. Moody looked at this young man straight in the eye, and he said, "Young man, I am using for the glory of God all of the English grammar that I know to preach and to spread the gospel as best I can. I wonder, can you say with all of your knowledge of English, are you doing the same?" Because here in this portion in 2 Kings chapter 7, we are confronted by greedy lepers who for a moment were indulging themselves in all that the Lord had given them, and they were not sharing on or passing on that blessing with others. In chapter 6, you read of the city of Samaria. 2 weeks ago, we discovered that those blind men, the army of the Syrians, well, they were miraculously made to see again by the power of Elisha. And we read there in verse 23 of 2 Kings chapter 6, "So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel." And it seems for a while, this ongoing war that we have been looking at, that existed between the Syrians and the Israelites, for a while this war seceded. However, just two verses later, in verse 25 of chapter 6, we read, "There was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it." In other words, whilst this war, it ceased for a moment or for a little while, yet the Syrians, they came back at the children of Israel, and this time they came back with a greater fierceness than ever before. And so I want you to picture the scene. Here is the city of Samaria. It is a walled city, and they are now under siege. And conditions in this city of the siege, well, conditions were getting rapidly worse. Verse 29, we read of a deplorable situation. We read, "So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her the next day, 'Give thy son that we may eat him.' And she hath hid her son." Imagine this. The famine has become so great in the confines of the city of Samaria. The Syrians there outside, they're besieging this city. They're attempting to starve out the city. And things have become so bad that the Jews, the Israelites, they have resorted to cannibalism merely just to survive. And in amongst this dearth and this desperate, desperate situation, in between the Syrian army that was encamped outside this city and the city of Samaria, it seems that there was a little area. And in this little area, there were four leprous men. These leprous men, well, they had been cast out of the city of Samaria. It seems they were Jews. And you know fine well that the requirement of a leper, when they contract leprosy, they are to be ostracized from their community. They are to be put outside their community. And so here are four leprous men, and they're outside the city of Samaria, and they're also in between the army of Syria. They really are between a rock and a hard place. And their situation was desperate. They were lepers. Their situation was declining, and they were starving. But they realized that if they were to go back into the city, well, there was no food for them. And if they were to go forward and forth and offer themselves to their enemies, the Syrian army, well, dear knows what could happen to them. And so in verse 3 we read, why sit we here until we die? However, eventually they muster the strength and they concoct the idea that they're going to give themselves into the hands of the enemy. And when they went into the Syrian camp, to their surprise, rather than meeting with retribution, they actually meet with refreshment. Verse 8 of this chapter, 2 Kings 7, we read, when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink, and carried then silver and gold and raiment. In other words, they were fed, and they were given silver. They had gold. They were also even, they also received a change of clothes. So here they are now, and they're in the Syrian camp, and they're being fed. They're famishing, it has been satisfied. Their hungry souls, well, it has been met. But as they are feeding there, they lose themselves. And in verse 9 we read, we do not well, for we hold our peace. And here they are feeding themselves and sustaining themselves all the while their countrymen are perishing, still in the city of Samaria. And so after a while of feasting on this food and drinking this wine, their consciences smote them for not sharing the gospel with their fellow countrymen or sharing that which they had received. You see, salvation this morning is not merely to be screened off from the world. It is to be shared with the world. It is to be firstly experienced, then shared. I wonder, like these leprous men, have you experienced the good tidings of salvation? Like these leprous men, spiritually speaking, has the need of your soul been met? Have you been clothed? Have you had that robe of righteousness imparted to you? Well, I wonder, could it be said of you, like it was said of these men, or that they said of themselves, rather, we do not well and we hold our peace. Oh, the Lord has blessed you. The Lord has saved you. The Lord has clothed you. The Lord has spiritually fed you and continues to do so day after day after day. I wonder, like these men, are you merely soaking it in for yourself? Or would your conscience smite you and say, I do not well. I must share this with others. I must share that which I have received along with the starving others. And so this morning, I want us to think for a few moments about these four greedy lepers. And that's my subject, four greedy lepers. I want you to think firstly with me about their depiction. Their depiction. We read in verse 3 that there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? It was a terrible time of famine and dearth. Food was scarce. In chapter 6 you read of a Samaritan woman, and she comes to the king of Israel, King Jehoram. And she tells him of how her and her neighbor had eaten her own child. Life obviously was difficult for these Jews under siege. But here were four lepers, and it seems they were Israelites. Some commentators actually believe one of them to be Gehazi, the castaway servant of Elisha. And we'll see that in a few weeks, whether it was or not. But here were four leprous men. They were outside the entering of the gate. This means they were outside the city gates. They had been cast outside the city. The gates had been shut. There was no way that these men would have been welcomed back into the city except they had their leprosy healed. Leviticus 13 verse 46 reads that, tells us that a leper was ostracized or cut off from his community. And here where they are, these men, sitting there, day after day after day. No one's coming near them. Of course, remember that the Levitical law stipulated that you were not to go near a person with leprosy, because if you touched them, well, it was a contagious disease. There was a possibility of you contracting that disease yourself, and then also spreading that disease amongst your community. So here were these men, and they were outside the city walls. They're starving. and they're dying of leprosy. They are now getting worse. Physically, they're getting hungrier. They are physically getting weaker as well. And they exclaim in verse 3, "Why sit we here until we die?" And in verse 4, you see that if they went to the Syrians, they feel as if they would be put to death. We read, "Let us fall into the host of the Syrians." The thought is this. The thought is that even if we give ourselves to the host of the Syrians, the Syrian army, there's no telling what they could do with us. We're lepers after all. They could just cast us away. They could tell us not to come near us. Or they could even go one step further. And they could kill us. After all, we are their enemies. They are attempting to take our land. And so here were four men, and they had been cut off from this city. However, their predicament was this. If they continued just to stay there and do nothing, then they would surely die. If they continued to stay there, they would starve. The disease of leprosy would spread. And so they were in this predicament that if they did absolutely nothing, then they eventually would succumb to death. And in sin, whilst doing nothing is slight, it is also even more serious. Doing nothing will only head to dangerous consequences. See, if you're outside of Christ this morning, then you are cut off, like these leprous men. You're cut off from the family of God, the fold of God, and even the very fellowship of God. You cannot have communion with Him, because it's only through Jesus Christ, the mediator between God and man, can you have communion with the Lord. And so this morning, like these leprous men, you are cut off, and you have the terrible disease of sin. And if you continue to leave this disease, this spiritual disease that you have, and you do nothing, then it will lead to dreadful and drastic consequences. Eventually, you will die eternally. And so your lamentation should be this morning, like these leprous men, "Why am I sitting here until I die?" If you are here this morning and you're unsaved and you do absolutely nothing about it and you do not cast yourself upon the mercy of Jesus Christ for forgiveness and for cleansing, and you sit and you do absolutely nothing about your spiritual condition, then make no mistake about it. You will die. And I'm not just talking about physical death, but I'm talking about eternal death. You will be punished eternally for your sin. Maybe you ask the question this morning, why is that the case? How is that fair? Well, John 3:18 explains why. We read there, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And here's Christ speaking. Christ is speaking to you this morning, and he's making it very, very clear to you. If you believe not, you're condemned already. Because, and the reason is very, very simple, when you're sin, you're in a state of condemnation, not a state of grace. And so if you continue on in that state of condemnation, in that state of punishment, where God will come and punish you for your sin, if you continue on in that state, then the result of that is that God will punish you, because you're already under condemnation. So you need to do something, come to Christ, in order to remove yourself and get out of that state of condemnation. Someone once said, "The nice thing about apathy is that you don't have to exert yourself to show you're sincere about it." You don't have to exert yourself to show you're sincere about it. And this morning, if you do nothing, like these leprous men, and you say, "I'm just going to sit here until I die," well, then you are possessed with a terrible spirit of apathy. And you're actually showing that you're sincere about it. that you're sincere about it. Because if you do absolutely nothing and you don't even think about the need of your soul, then you're sincere about sincerely doing nothing. Doing nothing. So here were these men. And what a depiction of these men. If they sat there, these leprous men, and they got no food for their bodies, and they made no attempt to seek rescue, then they were sure to die. And that's the same with you spiritually this morning. So I want you to see their depiction. But I also want you to see, thinking about these four lepers, their discovery. Their discovery. Verse 8, we read, when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink, and carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent, and carried thence also, and went and hid it. They were in a precarious position. If they sat there and did absolutely nothing, well, they were sure to starve themselves. They were sure to die and waste away. Verse 5 tells us that they rose up in the middle of the night and they made their way to the Syrian army camp. I want you to think about these men. They've come to that position where if we do absolutely nothing, we're going to die, so we should do something. And I'm sure that you would do exactly the same if you were in their position. If you were dying and you needed food, well, you would do absolutely anything to try and get food, to try and make sure that you survived. So they come to the logical conclusion that we can't go back to the Sumerian city because there's no food there anyway. So we may as well give ourselves to this Syrian army. We may as well cast ourselves on their mercy, and hopefully they will at least feed us. But when they arrived at this camp, rather than meeting the enemy, verse 5 tells us that there was no man there. There was no one there. And verses 6 and 7 explain why. It seems that the Lord, he had sent a noise just outside this army camp. There was the noise of chariots and horses and feet. And the Lord, he sent this noise. And whenever the Syrian army heard this noise, well, it absolutely petrified them. And they fled for their lives. And whenever they fled, they left everything. They thought that they were going to be ambushed whenever they heard this noise. And so they simply got up out of their army camp and they ran and fled for their lives. And they left absolutely everything behind. So whenever these men, these four leprous men came to this camp, this enemy army camp, what did they meet with? Well, they really were confronted by everything that was left behind. Verse 8, you read of them eating and drinking. You read of them taking gold and silver from tent to tent. You even read of these armies, or this army, leaving their very garments a change of clothes. And so, whilst these men had that worry, they had that fear coming upon them. If we give ourselves to the Syrians, we don't know what's going to happen to us. But when they arrived, oh, when they arrived, they experienced something that they never thought that they would have experienced. Their need being met. A change of clothes. Riches and all to boot. My, what a confrontation. What a joy they had as they then fed themselves and they had this change of clothing and they were richer perhaps than they'd ever been in their lives. Oh, what a discovery they made when they came to this army camp. And whilst in sin you are bankrupt, yet in Christ you are blessed. You see, Christ blesses you with every blessing of his. Because as you see all that these lepers received as they entered into this camp, it is a picture of what you receive in salvation. You think about it for a moment. Verse 8 mentions the raiment. Raiment. You imagine these lepers. And they have been wearing the same garments now. And they're old and they're tattered and they're absolutely destroyed. And of course, they have this disease of leprosy. And it's coming all upon their skin. And all of a sudden, they see a change of clothes. What do? They take off their old clothes and they have this new garment put on them. And that's what you receive in salvation. Isaiah tells us that we receive a robe of righteousness. What does that mean? That means Christ takes away our garments of sin and he gives to us his perfection, the merits of his perfect life. There's raiment. There's also refreshment. Just like these men, as they fed and they drank wine. Oh, they were starving before. They didn't know how they were even going to survive. And yet now they're absolutely satisfied. Now they're eating. Now they are drinking wine. They never would have imagined that they would have had such a meal or spread. But oh, how things have changed as they cast themselves upon the mercy of this Syrian. And they were wondering what the response might be. And again, when you come to Christ, my, how he refreshes you. Day after day in this starving world, let's put it like that, this starving world that's famishing for any form of real, genuine, substantial living. I'm sure you'll agree with me this morning that this life is so hollow. It's so shallow. When we live our lives day after day, and you live for the things of this world, and the things of time, and the things of sense, my, how you're left so disappointed by it all. Oh yes, we're in this world, and we are creatures of time. And yet at the same time, oh, how unsatisfied it should leave you as a believer. And you know what? The joy of it is this, is that when you come to Jesus Christ, and then you feast on him day after day, you can be taken to a higher plane. You can have your spiritual soul satisfied as you feast on Jesus Christ, as you see him in the Word day after day. Think as well of the riches of salvation. These men, they were richer probably than it had ever been before. They had come from a city which was in dearth, which was in famine, and now all of a sudden they have gold and silver in their hands. They never would have expected that. And again, it's the same with salvation. There are riches untold laid up for you in Jesus Christ. When you pass away, Paul tells us, and many other places tells as well, but Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. A crown. The Lord rewards you. He rewards you with riches untold in the world to come. May you're richer when you come to Christ than you ever have been before. Oh, physically that might not be the case, but spiritually it most definitely is. Paul sums all of this up and he says in Ephesians 1 verse 3, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Again in Romans 10 verse 12, we read there is no difference between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. The Lord's rich. The Lord is rich unto all who call upon him for mercy. You see, with redemption, there then comes refreshment and riches. His riches freely imparted to you. Maybe perhaps this morning, you're thinking to yourself, like these men, if I cast myself in Christ, will he cast me away? Will he, like these Syrians, as they were worried, these four leprous men, as they were worried about the outcome, would these Syrians cast us away? Would they kill us? What will they do with us? And maybe you're wondering this morning, what will Jesus Christ do with me if I come to him? Well, this is what he'll do with you. He'll grant you forgiveness. He'll grant you his robe. He'll grant you riches untold. And he'll grant you refreshment day after day. Patrick Henry was a well-known spokesman during the American Revolution in the 1700s. He was wealthy, and he owned much ground, especially in what is known today as modern-day West Virginia. Coming to the end of his life, before he passed away, he decided rather than leaving all this ground to his family in a will, he would just sign it over to them whilst he was yet alive. As he signed all of this land over to his family, he stated, there is one more thing I wish I could give them, and that is faith in Jesus Christ. If they had that and I had not given them a single shilling, they would have been rich. And if they had not that, and I had given them all the world, they would be poor indeed. Oh, what a discovery these men made. And what a discovery you will make when you come to Christ and you ask him for mercy and forgiveness. There was their depiction, their discovery. I want you to see thirdly here their delay. Their delay. Verse 9, we read, then said, they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. Verse 8, the last part speaks of them hiding their goods. And then in verse 9, we read of them saying simply, we do not well when we hold our peace. Remember the setting. Remember that now these men, they are feasting. They are sufficing themselves on this food. They now have all of this gold. They have all of these changes of clothing and raiment. But remember this. The city of Samaria, they still believe they're under siege. They still believe that the Syrians are encamped round about outside them. And they are still thinking to themselves, well, we're not going to leave this city because we're going to be confronted by the enemy. And here are these men, and these four leprous men, and they have been blessed immeasurably. And yet for a moment, yet but for a moment, what were they doing? Well, they forgot about their fellow countrymen who were starving in the city, and they were keeping it for themselves. They were actually hiding this gold for themselves. And in the midst of this, they look at each other, and they realize this. They realize we do not well. This is not a good thing that we're doing, keeping all of these blessings for ourselves, whilst inside the city walls, our countrymen, they're starving and they're dying. And having feasted on Christ yourself, you're then to feed others with Christ. You're to share the blessing of Christ in your life with others. One of this morning, are these four greedy lepers a picture of you today? Enjoying the blessings. My, soaking it all in. Enjoying the riches of Christ. Enjoying the joy of his robe being freely imparted to you by faith. Enjoying his refreshment, feasting on Christ day after day, and yet failing to share it with your fellow countrymen inside the walls of a city. Oh, I wonder this morning, could this be a picture of you? You're feasting on Christ, the living bread, whilst others are starving for that living bread. Now, believer, we are to feed ourselves upon Christ. We are to feast ourselves upon Jesus Christ day after day. But yet at the same time, it's not to stop there. Yes, we are to satisfy ourselves. We are to feed our own souls. But we're also to pass on the living bread to others. I wonder today, are you doing that? Or perhaps are you like these four leprous men and you're just enjoying, as it were, all the spoils of the war of Calvary. And yet you're not sharing them with others. Not telling others the good tidings. The good news, the glad tidings that the Lord has met my need. He has satisfied me. He has cleansed my sin. He has forgiven me from all of my unrighteousnesses. Wonder today, are you passing them on? Are you passing on all of these blessings? You think of Andrew in Scripture. There in John chapter 1, he was converted. He had found the Messiah. That was his own testimony. We have found the Messiah. He had found Jesus Christ. And in that chapter, you read of him the very next day going and telling his brother Simon Peter, and we read there that he brought him to Jesus. Oh, wonder. Wonder, is this wonderful, spontaneous impact of the gospel gripping you and then propelling you forward to share the message with others? What you have received, you're to then freely give and impart to others. A woman in the U.S., had an unusual way of trying to stir up her friends to witness. She was a Christian. Her others were Christians, but she was really discouraged that they were not out and out for the Lord as she wanted them to be. One day, one Saturday, they went on a shopping trip. And outside one of the shops that they were in, there were ladies. Outside one of these shops, there was a statue of a wooden Indian. Her friends stopped. They said, well, that's a nice statue. That would maybe go outside my door. And all of a sudden, this lady, she just started to witness to the wooden statue of the Indian. And she began to tell it of its need of Jesus Christ and how Christ could forgive it. Her ladies were a little bit bemused by this. What did she cause such a scene for in the middle of the street? And her response was this: I would rather be a real Christian and share Christ with a wooden Indian than be a wooden Christian who never shared Christ with anyone. I wonder if you shared Christ with anyone. It's a probing question. Have you ever shared, have you ever passed on what the Lord has done for you with anyone? Anyone? Or are you still hoarding it in for yourself? There was their delay, but lastly and quickly, I want you to then see their decision. Verse 9, we read, then said they one to another, we do not well. This day is the day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. They looked at each other in the midst of this Syrian camp, and they realized exactly what they were doing. They also realized it was a day of good tidings. It was a day of glad tidings. It was a day of good news. The Syrians had disappeared. The siege was over, and they had left all of their goods behind them. They realized that they must now go back to the city and tell them, and more than that, that they must go this very second. They realized that if even they were to wait till the morning, there was a possibility of perhaps the Syrians coming back, and some mischief, as they said, would fall upon us. And so they reasoned within themselves, now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. Now this would have been difficult. This would have taken courage. Here were four leprous men. They have been ostracized from this city. Remember that. They have been ostracized. And they are worried, what will happen to us if we try to get back into our own city? They still have leprosy, mind you. Yes, they have been fed. Yes, they have been clothed. But they still have the disease of leprosy. And so they were worried perhaps what would happen to us. Yet nonetheless, they were courageous. They overcame all of these boundaries, and they shared the message. They let the city know of what the Lord had done. They had courage, but they also had compassion. Think about that. Think about the fact that they had been ostracized. They had been ostracized, perhaps even by some of their friends, their family. They had had to leave them. They had been put outside the city. And so perhaps they could have reasoned to themselves, well, they didn't care about us. They didn't come and bring us food. Now we are okay. We have our needs met. Maybe perhaps we should just leave the city and perish. After all, they didn't care for us. Why should we care for them? But no, again, they had compassion. They went back to those who had ostracized them and removed them from their community. And they told them the good tidings that the war was over and that there was plenty for all. And rather than storing Christ, we are then to share Christ. We are to go without delay and share him with a dying world. Oh, this morning, learn from the mistake of the lepers. Don't delay. Don't just even momentarily or temporarily feast yourselves upon the spoils of the war of Calvary and feed yourself upon him, the one who is the bread of life. Yes, it's good to do that. It's necessary. But don't make the mistake of merely feasting without then sharing that blessing with others. Because if you do, the Lord says to you this morning, we do not well. You do not well. There's good news to share. And it needs to be shared with this famishing city. And it needs to be shared with them, lest they fall to a Christless eternity. Four selfish lepers. And may the Lord bless his word to your lives this morning.